In America, you have a right to be stupid.
I mean, I do think at a certain point you've made enough money.
$100 billion, $1 trillion.
Come on!
If you've got a business, you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
Listen to reason.
We're lending money we don't have to kids who will never be able to pay it back, to train them for jobs that don't exist anymore.
My faith has really allowed me to overcome a lot of things and hard work. You know, nothing comes easy.
We're so focused on getting into the corner office, we forgot how to build a corner office.
There's a clear cause and effect here that is as neat and predictable as a law of physics. As government expands, liberty contracts.
Finding real answers to form real solutions for a better America. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Here's your host, John Rush.
All right, it is Monday. Happy Monday, everybody. The day after Easter. Hope you had a great Easter weekend and enjoyed yourself. And the weather is absolutely fabulous. And it's great even yet today. Even though it's a little cloudy out, it's still a very, very nice day today. So glad you're all with us. Hopefully you'll have a fabulous week ahead. The impossible question of the day, and you can answer this on the KLZ 560 Facebook page, is 25% of people over the age of 65 claim they have never done this. So 25%, so a quarter of the people over the age of 65 claim they've never done this. What is it? The hint is technology. One thought someone gave me, Charlie, was online dating. That a quarter of the people over 65 would say, I think it's higher than that, so I'm not sure that's the right answer. But this is technology related. So 25% over the age of 65 claim they have never done this. Filled out a online employment app, Charlie, maybe? 25% of people over 65. I don't know, because a lot of people, believe it or not, over the age of 65 are still pretty technologically inclined. Oh, Charlie said place an online order. Oh. You know, I would say the other one might be, now that Charlie just said that, Charlie said place an online order, I'm going to go with online banking. The 25% have never done an online deposit, things like that. They just go to the bank and do it. Charlie says he doesn't. So he hasn't yet. Doesn't mean he won't or can't, but he hasn't yet. I'm going with the banking end of it, with electronic banking. That's my answer. Again, I think it's not a high number, 25%, because a lot of folks do online banking, even those that are over the age of 65. But I know a lot of folks that are over 65 that won't touch it. They insist on going to the bank, and that's been a hard thing during COVID for a lot of them to deal with when it comes to that. So that's my answer. Put your own answer, I should say, on the KLZ 560 Facebook page. All right, today's show, hour one. I've got an article in the Washington Post about corporations not paying taxes. I'm also going to talk about a bill here in Colorado, SB 21-181, briefly, because Patrick Neville will join us tomorrow, and I'll get more information from him on that as we get into tomorrow's show as well. Hour two, Sarah Anderson, Director of Policy at FreedomWorks. We're going to talk about the infrastructure bill again. I know I touched on that last Friday some, but still a hot topic. You're hearing a lot of folks talk about it, and you guys already know my opinion. It's not an infrastructure bill. It's as far from it. We talked about it Thursday and Friday, actually. It's as far from an infrastructure bill as you'll get. Hour three, Hampton Conway III. He is the executive director of the Movement Ministries. He's going to talk about men that are abused, actually. That never gets talked about much, especially in media. And then Chuck Bentley, CEO of the largest financial ministry in the world, Crown Financial, will join us. And we're going to talk about some things with him that, honestly, I've never really heard much in the way of. We'll get into that as we get into that third hour. We're going to talk about, though, the term gray swan. And I don't know what that term means. I'm going to learn it along with you as we get into the 5 o'clock hour as well. But let's do this. I've got several things I want to talk about. And if you want to join in, especially as we get into this, this article talking about firms that paid no income tax, I'm going to dive into the article because, as usual, it's written in a very leftist approach. I'll dissect that as we come back. If you want to join in with us on this Monday on that or anything else, 303-477-5600. We'll take a quick break, though. I'll come right back. Golden Eagle Financial is next. Al Smith is your guy if you're looking for somebody to help you as we start planning for the future. And don't forget, there's things even tax-wise you can do up to, I believe, I'm not positive, but I think May 15th, now that that's the new filing date, or May 7th. I guess it's the 17th now, May 17th. At any rate, ask Al. He can help you with all of that, even some tax planning when it comes to IRAs and things like that. 303-744-1128 or find him at klzradio.com.
You can breathe easy, knowing you'll have enough money to live comfortably in retirement. Now you have the luxury of deciding how you'll spend that money to make it work even harder for you. Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial will help you create a plan to minimize taxes and fees so your savings last. Before you stop contributing to your 401k or IRA and start taking distributions, you'll want to have a plan in place to make certain your money will help you achieve your goals. If you should need long-term care at some point, you'll want to make sure your kids get a break. Al Smith will show you how to set up supplemental coverage so your kids have some help and it's already paid for. It's time to shift your focus from wealth accumulation to wealth preservation with KLZ's Retirement Planning Specialist. Set up a free consultation with Al Smith now at klzradio.com/money. Advisory services offered through Foundations Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Novus Auto Glass, folks, and at Novus, they want to take care of you, your vehicle, and the vision of your vehicle. I mean, it's your vision, but the vehicle contributes to how well you can see, whether that be lighting, whether that be headlights, whether that be, as we learned over the weekend, even rearview mirrors. They can handle all of it, and they work with all insurance companies, and don't forget that. So the way it works with them is you pay the deductible, and they'll handle the rest, dealing directly with your insurance company. You need to start the process, but they'll take it from there and deal with it for you. Find them at rushtoreason.com/Novus, and that's N-O-V-U-S.
Take control of the process with Novus Auto Glass. Insurance companies want you to use one of their recommended shops so they get a discount. John Rush endorses Novus Auto Glass because he trusts the quality of their work. In today's modern car, your windshield has become a structural component of your vehicle. Unlike in classic cars, where your windshield was just something to look through, today's windshields bear pressure as part of the frame. Your windshield has become a safety feature of your vehicle, so quality repairs matter. With every repair or replacement, Novus Auto Glass records detailed specs, including the temperature outside, the serial number of the vehicle, and the type of urethane they use, so you can have confidence that your windshield won't pop out at the wrong moment. Instead of letting your insurance company choose the cheapest option, take control of the quality with the inventors of windshield repair. Find Novus Auto Glass now at rushtoreason.com.
The Mike Gallagher Show.
He's your happy conservative warrior.
What American listening to me right now thinks it's a bad idea to make it easier to vote and harder to cheat? I can answer that for you. The only kind of American who objects to making it easier to vote and harder to cheat is an American who wants to cheat.
Breaking news and what to make of it.
Don't miss the next Mike Gallagher Show.
Mike Gallagher. Weekday mornings at 8 on KLZ 560.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Thanks for joining us today. I do appreciate it very much. Mike on the phone first off today. Mike, welcome. How are you, sir?
Hi, fine, John. Thanks. Yeah, I thought you'd be the best person to ask about this since you keep up on this better probably than anybody. I thought I heard today and on the 16th some changes coming to this ridiculous mask on some.
There are changes coming, yes. And now, I will say this. Even though I keep up on all this, in this case, Mike, it's really hard to know exactly what's coming here in a couple of weeks. I'm not sure even the governor himself knows what's coming. The way it seems, or the way it's been presented at this point, is this is going to put more control back into those, businesses, counties, cities, and so on. It's going to let them decide what to do and not be a state mandate.
Yeah, that's what I thought I heard. So I'm wondering if it'll go back to the infernal Tri-County Health Department.
Well, I think what you're going to see, I would not be surprised, Mike, to see the health departments then take that over, which is what we had really in the beginning as to why there ended up being a state mandate in the first place, which I think everybody's forgetting. A year ago, roughly, Mike, about this time last year, that's when all of this really started as far as the statewide mandate went because of what you just said.
Yeah, I thought Polis laid the hammer down in the summer.
No, it was actually sooner than that because there was that big fight going on with, and you may be right. I mean, again, once we get into the warmer weather, the months kind of run together, and it may have been June versus you know, April or May. But to your point, it was because of all of the Tri-County shenanigans as to why Polis finally stepped in. And by the way, Denver as well. It wasn't just Tri-County. It was Denver also.
I think you're right. It's just still too early to know what's going to happen.
The problem with Mike, him doing this again is, and I think you're leading into this, is this is going to end up making more of a, in my opinion, a mess by allowing certain, and granted, businesses, and I'm a favor of this, by the way. I'm a fan of businesses being able to do this. So, you know, having it to where a business can decide if they want you to wear a mask or not, and then you deciding whether you want to do business there or not, frankly, that's the way it should have been all along, even up to this point, Mike. It shouldn't be mandated by the state or by the governor in the first place or by local health departments. To me, all this is going to do is just create a bunch of convolution that we want to avoid, if at all possible.
Yeah, be nicest we could just get rid of it entirely.
Well, and I've been saying this for a while now, Mike, and I really hope I'm wrong. I hope in this particular area I'm wrong, although I don't think I am. I think you're going to have certain individuals along with certain businesses that are not going to let go of this mask thing no matter what. And I think even certain cities, I think you're going to see some city governments, especially some of our mountain towns, where they hang on to this thing, Mike, until it's to the point where there's enough tourists and people coming in that they just can't control it and it just sort of dissipates on its own. But let me tell you what, if any of these mountain towns especially have their way, it's not going anywhere.
Yeah, interesting.
And that's my prediction. I hope, Mike, that I'm wrong and that once some of these things start to lift and some of these counties go green, that that's no longer necessary, even in some of those rural areas. And I didn't say that correctly. Some of the mountain areas. I think the rural areas where you start getting out into the plains and those areas, I think for the most part, Mike, a lot of the masks are gone there anyways. I'm just being straightforward as I've been to some of those places, and I know that's the case. The mountain areas, though, Mike, it's quite the opposite.
Yeah, they do. They like to control things, it seems like.
I don't quite understand, other than the mountain towns are run by a bunch of liberals, so I guess I'm answering my own questions, but I don't know why you'd want to be a tourist town and then be restricting. I read an article of the weekend, by the way, Durango. Durango has these Western actors down there that are actually running around doing the quote-unquote policing of people not wearing masks the way they're supposed to, including if they walk into a restaurant and you're waiting to, you know, waiting for a table to be set and you're sitting in the, you know, you're kind of standing or sitting in the entryway. Even if your mask isn't covering your nose, these would-be actors are running around acting like the mask police, making sure people do what they're supposed to in Durango.
Wow.
So this is really, Mike, not just a, you know, Front Range issue. In fact, I will tell you that I think you'll see the Front Range get rid of masks, and not saying every business will, but I think by and large, you'll see us in better shape along the Front Range. This is my prediction. Guys, I don't know. There's no articles on this. This is just me speculating. But Mike, I think the Front Range will have less mask mandates and be you know, less in that area than I think areas like I just mentioned in Durango will be. These folks like in Durango, which by the way is very liberal, they're going to hang on to this thing as long as they can.
Yeah, I guess until either it hits them in the pocket or it gets closer to election time, what I'm thinking.
One of the two. Now, all of these little mountain towns also are allowing, I believe right now, I could be wrong if somebody wants to, you know, correct me, and if I am, please do, but I think all the mountain towns, Mike, right now are promoting you can get a vaccine. And I know in Durango, because according to the article that I read in Durango, even if you're an out-of-state or out-of-towner, you can get vaccinated in Durango right now.
Oh yeah, it's pretty much available everywhere.
So they're really and these little towns are pushing that. Now, at what point do these little towns finally decide that, you know, enough's enough and our, to your point, Mike, our revenue, you know, our pocketbook is now starting to get hurt? I think come summer a lot of these mountain towns may see that and may want to, you know, slack off of that. I will say this though, the ski towns, Mike, because of just what skiing is and so on, and the fact that I've seen it from my own two eyes, and when you go to those places, every other car hasn't, you know, is an out-of-state plate. People have come in, they're wearing masks, they don't care, they're skiing, they're doing whatever's required, because I guess they love skiing enough, they don't care about the mask side of it. They're different than I am.
Yeah, well, I like you said, it's just going to become a, kind of a hodgepodge, chaos mess, I think.
I think it is, too. No, I really do. And unfortunately for the state, as we try to get back to, you know, some sort of a, you know, quote-unquote normal, again, Mike, this goes back to what I've been talking about for a few weeks, though, where I do believe we're going to have this, the country even, and you're seeing this come out of the White House now to where he's even getting after, you know, governors like Polis, making sure that, you know, Biden wants to see everybody continue on this mask thing indefinitely. You're going to have an entire country that is either for a mask or against a mask. That's my opinion.
It could come to that. Yeah, it really could.
I hope it doesn't, but
strong at the heart. Yeah.
But that's the direction we're headed, I hate to say.
All right. Well, thanks for your input,
Mike,
there.
As always, I appreciate it. Great question, by the way. And yeah, folks, you hear me talk about that a lot, and I wish I had a better thought for you, but I don't. That's just the direction that I think things are going to head. We had a caller that actually called into the station today that wanted to know if I would comment on the proposed bill SB 21-182, and it reads, quote, "The bill prohibits law enforcement officers from arresting students or issuing a summons, ticket, or notice requiring the appearance of a student in court or at a police station for certain offenses and conduct." I've not read the entire bill, folks. I knew about this last week a little bit and read some on it. I am going to get a full opinion from Patrick Neville tomorrow on this, so I will just take this and put it into tomorrow's notes and ask him in particular. If this, in fact, is a bill that passes, though, this, I'll just give you my opinion right now, it's ridiculous. I hope this doesn't pass, but anything is possible right now. Ken and Centennial, you're up.
Hi, John. How are you?
Good, Ken. How are you doing, sir?
Just heading home and ready to crack the beer. Hey, I've got a quick story to tell you. Me and my wife, we just got back. We spent a week in Mexico. We flew down there on United Airlines.
Okay.
And, this is a mask story, by the way. So we're sitting there at the gate, and they're pulling the jetway.
Okay.
The flight attendant gets on, and she's an older gal, white hair, and I'm guessing she's probably deep within Denver or Boulder. She says, "Okay, everybody, I just want you to know that the federal law requires you to wear a mask at all time, and it's United's policy to wear a mask at all time, and we don't want you to deviate from this, and if you do, we'll just come to the front of the airplane, and we'll make other arrangements for you, and blah, blah." And then she gets into the, you know, those little packets of pretzels you get? They're about as big around as your thumbnail.
Yes, yes.
As a thing to eat. She says, "I want you now, you have to take a bite of your pretzel, but then you have to replace the mask right away and chew your pretzel. And then you can lower your mask again and put another pretzel in your mouth and chew it. But then you have to raise your mask while you're doing that." She said that and don't think that just because you have another one on, you know, standing by on deck ready to go in your mouth that you can put keep your face mask lower, because we'll be watching you, and don't even think about trying to turn around and look for us, because we'll be there eventually and we'll catch you. And I just started cracking up, and I looked over to my right, and there's a guy sitting in the aisle. He's doing the exact same thing, just like a programmed robot. He's eating a pretzel and putting his face mask up, and then taking two or three chews and
unreal.
And putting another one.
So in other words, you got a full instruction on how you're supposed to eat and wear a mask at the same time.
Yeah.
Unreal.
I just had to pass it on to you, because I was like,
I appreciate that, and what I will say, and this is for all of the airlines, because I've seen it, I've flown quite a bit here through the latter part of coronavirus, not early on. I mean, nobody really did anything, but this last, you know, year or so, or sorry, last 6 months or so, I've done a little bit of flying, as you know, Ken, and I will say that it doesn't really even matter the airline itself. And by the way, they all have policy, but there are certain flight attendants that really take this to heart, and man, they're just control freaks, and they want to make sure they're letting you know every little second of the way what's going on and what you're supposed to be doing and not. And then I think I told you all this, but one of the last flights I was on, you know, same deal. Flight attendant gets on, and, you know, he's really on everybody about wearing a mask and how you're supposed to do it and what you're supposed to do and on and on and on. And he's talking about how the, you know, it's a federal policy and blah, blah, blah. Finally, the pilot gets on right before we get ready to leave, as the pilots do. And he gets on and he says something to the effect of, hey, you know, yeah, you know what, guys, we know there's a mask policy. We know it's been mandated by the feds. We know that it's not the most enjoyable thing to have to do. But you know what? Just for me, would you make sure you wear it? And he was really nice. And actually, in a way, was sort of kin. I don't want to say he was making fun of the flight attendant, but you could tell that this guy and the flight attendant don't see eye to eye on things. And the pilot basically wanted everybody to know that he was in charge, not the flight attendant.
Yeah. No, you're right. Some people have common sense and some people that don't.
This particular pilot definitely did, but the flight attendant was a control freak, which, okay, if I say something that steps on flight attendants' toes, I'm sorry, but there's a lot of senior flight attendants, Ken, that are total power trip control freaks.
Yeah, just like HOA president.
Yep, you would think they were the pilot, and they're not. They never will be, frankly, but they sure act like it.
And just to give you a quick update on, I mentioned a week or two ago to you about my initiative of taking my, what do you call, flicking my face mask when I go into a store.
Right.
I just want to let people know that, yeah, I am doing that. And I'll just walk in and I go to Home Depot, some of these big box stores. And, you know, when I check out, nobody says anything. Nobody, you know, I think they're all like the same thing as this pilot. It was like, this is just, you know, this is getting insane. And I will mention that, you know, if I'm feeling sick or if I don't feel right, I will not do that. But I mean, it's just like calling in sick to work. If I feel sick or something like that, if I have a cold or whatever, I've never gone to work because I know I'm going to spread the disease to other people. There's very good chances of it, you know. So I keep that, you know, I just wanted to mention that as well. But, you know, you want to be smart about
Well, this. So real quick, Ken, question for you. Just a side note, and I don't think I've ever asked this. Do you think there's anybody going to work right now with a cold like we used to have people going to work with colds?
Well, I mean, it's probably the same as it's always been. I don't know. Why are you saying
that? Well, because right now, I mean, if you get the sniffles or sneeze or even have a cough at all, man, people are avoiding you like the plague. So my point is, do you think there's more people now, you know, calling in sick where they once upon a time would have gone in with a cold and just dealt with it, and now they just stay home?
Yeah, because they're afraid of getting shamed or something.
Right. Even though they're not sick, they don't have COVID, they just have the – right now, even think about this. This is the other thing I was thinking about just myself. Ken, is allergy season for all of us in Colorado is like, it's here now. I mean, it's already starting. I can feel it. I know a lot of other folks feel the same way. That's the next question is how many people running around with allergies are going to feel like they can't even leave the house because they're sneezing and might have a little cough due to allergies, and it's nothing else other than that.
Yeah. People are, we're just taking this over the deep end, you know.
We really are. I mean, we're going to become so germophobic, I guess you could say, that, you know, a lot of us already are, but that doesn't mean we don't go out in public and enjoy ourselves. You just deal with things accordingly. But we're going to become so sterile. Maybe that's the right word I'm trying to use, Ken, that I don't think that helps us either.
No. Yeah, you're right, John. And I think that's what the Democrats want. They want to control us. But these states that are allowing masks, I didn't look at it, but they're probably all governed by Republicans. And, people that have common sense, and Democrats aren't. Wolf in Pennsylvania and our Lord Polis here.
Right.
That's what it's all about. And the last thing I'll say, John, is, I think it was you guys that said this or somebody, I'm not sure, but face masks basically don't work.
No, it's been now. I've been saying it for almost a year plus now, Ken, and there's study after study after study that come out, and no, they don't. Now, I always put a caveat with that, Ken. I do feel like if somebody were to wear a mask exactly the way that it was designed, and by the way, not some of these stupid cloth masks we see running around or the nylon ones or whatever people wear, but I mean an actual, not even a medical grade mask, but like an N95, N99, if they're wearing those properly, you know, are they going to protect themselves against potentially getting sick? I think in those cases they could. Are they going to keep other people from getting sick? Very doubtful, Ken, and I put all that with a caveat. If worn properly. The problem there, Ken, is that's such a huge if, and there's been many, many, many medical professionals out there that have even called into this program that have said the way we wear masks is so far from the way it's supposed to be done that, no, they're ineffective, totally ineffective. In fact, they're probably hurting more than they're helping.
Yeah, you're right. And the other thing, too, John, is The only time I think a mask would work is if somebody has a cold or a flu or COVID. If they sneeze on you or cough on you, you know, 2 feet away, then, yeah, it would work. But when is the last time you've had somebody sneeze on you or cough on you? I mean, like, I don't think I've had it ever done to me in my 65 years of being walking this earth. So
exactly.
It's just total overkill.
Well, and my point, Ken, a minute ago on the mask, and you brought up a great point, and I was watching some video over the weekend. I can't remember who was talking, but it was somebody that was in a press conference or something. I wish now I would have saved the name of the person, but as they were speaking, they kept reaching up with their two fingers and grabbing their mask and adjusting it right in front of their mouth. And I'm thinking to myself, every time they're doing that, as they're speaking, wherever their two fingers are now touching, what you might as well have spit on your fingers and then rubbed whatever it was you were working on, Ken, because essentially that's exactly what that person did.
Yeah, you're
So, and again, at the end of the day, are we really helping ourselves with these things? And the answer is, of course, no, we're not.
No, and it's all about control. We
That's right.
That
it sure
and
is.
States are starting to wake up, and I don't know how many more have changed their minds.
Well, I'll tell you what, Ken, here's another prediction I'll make, everybody. If certain states don't start to open up, there's going to be some exodus of certain states to the areas where they are allowing you to have freedom. Some of that's already starting to happen, but if some of these states don't figure it out, they're going to lose population.
Yeah, you're right, John. So, okay, I just wanted.
I appreciate it. No, have a great weekend as always. Thanks for calling in. I do appreciate it, and be safe on your trip home. We'll come right back. American National Insurance is next. Paul Leuenberger, my agent, would love to help you. Whatever your insurance needs are, and if you just need a quote, call him today. Find out exactly where you're at, what you need, and he'll do the rest. 303-662-0789.
Paul Leuenberger with American National Insurance offers a rebate program unlike any other. Every year that you don't file a claim, you get a certain percentage of your money back. Just one example of how Paul Leuenberger, the personal insurance agent of John Rush, keeps your rates so low. He rewards his customers for their diligence and responsibility. Paul can also help you strategize about when to file a claim and when to pay out of pocket so you save more money in the long run. You don't want to shop online for insurance because you have no idea what you're buying. You need Paul Leuenberger with American National, the No Surprises Insurance Agent. Call 303-662-0789. That's 303-662-0789. And ask Paul Leuenberger with American National Insurance for details about his unique rebate program for home and auto insurance. Talk to somebody with the expertise to advise you so you get the coverage you expect.
All right, I'm going to take a moment here and interject something that's, I know normally we just talk quickly about Michael Bailey, but I read a really interesting article today that I may come back to later in the show and even talk about, because it was a fascinating story of the owner of Zappos, which most of you, if you don't know who Zappos is, you should go look it up and just sort of learn who the owner was, what he did before his death. He has since died, by the way, which most people don't know. It's not been made super public that he passed away, mainly because of the way that he did pass away, but very, very wealthy individual, by the way. In fact, to the tune of, I want to say Zappos was doing $2+ billion or $3 billion a year. They sold it to Amazon. He became an instant, you know, he's already very, very wealthy prior to that, but he became an instant multi-millionaire to the point where he had an entourage following him around. The guy got addicted to drugs and all sorts of other things. It's really kind of a sad story as to how he died. How does Michael Bailey relate to this? The saddest part of all is you're reading through the article. He died without an estate plan, without a will, and this guy was loaded. So now, and this article even talks about how his family is now picking up the pieces, trying to figure out exactly what to do with what. There were sticky notes all over this guy's house that, quote unquote, people are using to claim he had a will, or he claimed he had a plan, or claimed he knew what he wanted to do with all of his stuff. Like I just said, claimed. Nothing was written out. Nothing was formalized. Nothing was legal. And it's now a mess. If that's you, go see Michael today and get that handled. And by the way, it doesn't matter if you have gazillions of dollars like the guy from Zappos did, or if you just have a house, a car, and some kids. No matter what, if you leave that left undone and you leave this earth, it will be a mess to the folks you leave behind. So I know that's a little long, but I think it's appropriate to talk about that given the state that the owner of Zappos died in. Without an estate, no will, and it's now a mess. Don't let that happen to you. Call Michael today, 720-394-6887, or find him at klzradio.com.
KLZ's mobile estate planner doesn't exclusively talk about death and dying. He also wants to help you plan for the rest of your life. Your estate plan with Michael Bailey Law protects you and your loved ones during your lifetime by establishing a medical power of attorney and a financial power of attorney now, while you still have all of your mental and physical capacities. That way, you and your family never need to go through the painful experience of trying to make those decisions during a crisis. Set up a free consultation with Michael Bailey now at klzradio.com/estate.
What drives American innovation? Trump has launched a new website, 45office.com, to kick off his new activist campaign to make America great again agenda. GOP senators were threatened by cartel members near the Texas-Mexico border. Kim Munson here. Tuesday, award-winning investigative reporter with the Epoch Times and host of Crossroads, Josh Phillip, breaks down each of these headlines. Jen Hewlin shares the latest happenings at Water's Edge Winery. That's Tuesday, 6 to 7 a.m., 1 to 2 p.m., again 10 to 11 p.m., right here on KLZ 560 and KLZ 100.7 FM.
Tired of the corporate rat race? Time to retire? Call Chris Cantwell at Transworld Business Advisors to buy or sell your business. Find Chris Cantwell at KimMunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. And real quick, what I was talking about there with Michael Bailey and Will, go read that article if you get a chance. It really talks about the history of the gentleman that owned Zappos, what happened to him, and to me it was fascinating to read through it, and all said and done, had no will. All right, let's talk about big companies that, according to certain individuals, reports and so on, paid no federal income tax. Now, that's the headline. Dozens of American corporations paid no federal income tax last year, a report says. Now, all of that needs to be put in context, by the way. And yes, in fact, there were multiple, probably hundreds if you really want, probably thousands if you want to get down to it, that didn't pay any federal income tax due to some of the things that happened during coronavirus and the way some of the tax laws changed. Something that always chaps my hide, by the way, anytime I read an article, is where I read things that say something along the lines of, well, yeah, they took advantage of X loopholes, folks. Let me get something straight really quick here when it comes to our tax code. There are no loopholes. I believe the definition of a loophole is something that is done in, I'll get you the exact definition, a means of escape, especially an ambiguity or omission in the text through which the intent of a statute, contract, or obligation may be evaded. In other words, it's called tax evasion. That's not what these companies did, folks. There's no loopholes in the tax code. It's either in the code or it's not. You either get a deduction or you don't. You either get an incentive to invest or you don't. There's no loophole. So every single time you read something in the press where some dumb journalist, writer, editor, whatever, puts in that statement, that shows you how stupid they are. Or how much they want to change your thinking when it comes to these things because they continue to use that word. There are no loopholes in the tax code. There are things you can and cannot do as an individual or a business or a nonprofit or whatever, but there's no loophole. So what these guys in this article start talking about, and by the way, this is a finding that comes out of, let me see if I can make sure I can find it, the Institute on Taxation and Economic Policy, which, by the way, is a very, very left-leaning institute. Make sure I say that correctly. Organizations, what I was looking for. Sorry, make sure I use the right word. And they start off this article, dozens of America's biggest companies paid no federal income taxes last year thanks to a range of tax breaks, including some new ones, which, again, folks, if it's legal and that's what they were allowed to do, then so be it. There was a lot of things that came out last year, by the way, in the tax code that allowed individual businesses to do things to get things back on track, economically speaking, keep people employed, and keep things on track. Of the 52, some of these include companies like Nike, FedEx, Dish Network, and so on. Some say they even pocketed rebates worth about $3.5 billion. Now, while $3.5 billion is a lot, in the grand scheme of things, and you look at all the different organizations that pay taxes and the taxes that are collected and the stimulus spending that happened and so on, guys, no offense, $3.5 billion is nothing in the grand scheme of things. And $3.5 billion, even if that was collected in the grand scheme of things, when it comes to all the different things that our government spent money on this past year, the $4 trillion plus that they have spent on COVID, $3.5 billion doesn't do squat. 26 of them haven't paid a penny in federal income taxes in 3 years since the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act was signed into law in 2017. And this group includes, of course, the shipping giant FedEx and a power company, Duke Energy, which reported nearly $15 billion in pre-tax income for those 3 years. Quote, Duke Energy fully complies with federal and state tax laws as a part of our efforts to make investments that will benefit our customers and communities, company spokesperson Catherine Butler said, adding that Duke paid more than $2 billion in annual state and local taxes in 2020. This goes on, and by the way, this is the part that always chaps me. Major companies have used loopholes in federal tax law to help their bottom line for decades. Again, folks, I'm going to continue to say this. Anytime you read an article and the word loophole is in the article, you already know that it's written by a bunch of lefties. Because again, there are no loopholes in the tax code. It's called tax code. It's the tax law. It's what these people go by. It's what we have to go by. It's what you go by. It's what the IRS puts out. And by the way, is there gray area in the tax code? Of course there is. There's so many pages that no one knows exactly what every section of it says. That's why there's folks out there that are paid lots and lots and lots of money to figure out what exactly does the tax code mean? What can they do when it comes to the tax code? How can they keep that money invested in the company rather than paying taxes and do other things with it? And by the way, if your company is not doing that, shame on them. If you as a business are not doing that, shame on you. If you as an individual are not doing that, shame on you. If you just blanketly, I know that's not a word, but if you just, you know, write a check and don't do everything possible to lower the tax burden, even in your own world, shame on you. That's not anybody's fault but your own. These companies, in a lot of cases, big companies and small, do a really good job of knowing what the tax code says and what you can do to not avoid taxes, because they're not avoiding anything. They're doing things that allow them to have deductions to take advantage of the law at that time to offset profits, whether that be in previous years or in future years. Again, these companies aren't stupid. They have people they employ that understand fully what the code says, what the law says, and they navigate it accordingly. Even FedEx said, they stood by the CARES Act's tax break, saying the law helped it and other companies navigate a rapidly changing economy and marketplace while continuing to invest in capital, hire team members, and fund employee pension plans. It goes on, though, and says, but many companies also use more established methods for giving themselves tax discounts. By the way, these are things that happen all the time, not just during COVID. These include write-offs for paying executives in stock, which were used by more than a dozen companies. And let me explain something when it comes to how that works when somebody's paid in stock. You don't have cash in the bank when you're paid in stock, by the way. You have to manage that stock just like you would anybody else that has money invested in the stock market. And you have to decide when you want to cash in, what your capital gain is going to be like when you do, on and on we go. Just because you get paid in stock in lieu of cash doesn't necessarily mean it's good for you. It may or may not be. There's a great, speaking of this, I just thought of this a moment ago. Richard sent me this earlier. I should actually play this real quick. So, Charlie, get my sound up. I'm gonna play something that explains things along these lines when it comes to people's thought process, when it comes to those that are quote-unquote billionaires or extremely wealthy. This is a TikTok video that Richard sent me. That, and I don't know who this guy is, but he basically talks about Jeff Bezos' worth, and it goes along the lines of what I'm talking about right now. Here we go, Charlie. Oops, hang on. Let me make sure the sound is up. Hang on, Charlie. Let me check one setting real quick. Sorry, everybody. I should have done this earlier. I didn't know I was going to play this right this second, so give me 1 second. Let me make sure I back it up. Here we go.
Of dollars. Money doesn't work that way. Being worth billions of dollars doesn't mean you have billions of dollars. Most of the net worth held by Jeff Bezos is in Amazon. If you were to sell all his stock, he would harm or possibly destroy the company, and the stock would lower in price before he managed to sell a fraction of what he owns. His fortune would vaporize. There's a common misconception that someone in his position has money in dollars that he should give away to help everyone in need, that he's being selfish for keeping so much to himself. But his net worth is measured in the amount of responsibility he's taken on, not in the number of dollars he's collected. His net worth is measured in the future value over 500,000 employees that Amazon will create under his leadership. The valuation is in the land his company owns, the products produced, and investors' predictions of future innovations. There's no checking account with billions upon billions of dollars being selfishly hoarded. The money is the lifeblood of a thriving network he spent his life building and maintaining.
All right, I'll leave it at that, folks. And again, as I was stating a moment ago, just because someone gets stock versus cash doesn't mean they're all of a sudden compensated more or less than they would have been otherwise. It's simply the way certain companies do things. So I'll go through a few more of these as we go through the rest of the show. But I really want to, wanted to spell out that if you read the word loophole in anyone talking about taxes, you know it's written from a very leftist perspective because, again, there aren't any. There is the tax code, and you either abide by it or you're a criminal. There's no loophole there. If you avoid paying taxes on purpose, it's called tax evasion. They arrest you. They throw you in jail. And, by the way, you're liable to spend more time in jail for tax evasion than murdering somebody. And that's a true statement. I'm not lying and I'm not making fun of what I just said. That's a true statement. That's how in this day and age we look at things, and frankly, I think that's the wrong way to look at them, but that's how we look at things today. That company or that CEO or that person that quote-unquote avoided taxes will spend longer time in the clink than somebody out murdering somebody will. Something else we'll come back to as we progress through the show. Al Sturm's going to join me, though, from a good shop in a moment. Before we do that, though, we're going to hear from him next. And don't forget, they've got three locations up in the northern end of town. Anything you need, just go to klzradio.com and look up a good shop there.
You've already been through a collision. Now give yourself the gift of a gorgeous vehicle inside and out. Al Sturm and his team at A Good Shop Auto Body continue to earn OE certifications for name brands like Subaru, Ford, and many others so they can get your vehicle back to pre-loss condition with the parts and service recommended by your manufacturer. Now A Good Shop offers full detailing as an add-on service so your vehicle feels like new. Click on the free virtual estimate button now at klzradio.com/collision and ask for a full detailing service, including carpet shampooing for the entire interior or trunk, or upgrade to include a ceramic coating that will keep your paint in shiny new condition. Al and his team want to give every customer the wow factor of a vehicle that feels like new. Mention KLZ in your virtual estimate request for $100 off your repairs. A Good Shop in North Glen and Commerce City. Certified collision repair worth referring.
Your company is bleeding time and money, and John Rush will find those leaks. You're too stuck in day-to-day weeds to step back and see the big picture. You need a qualified, experienced business coach to take stock of your expenses and see where you and your employees are wasting time and money. John firmly believes that every business owner needs a coach because you're too close to the situation to be objective. Email John now and make more money. John@RushToReason.com.
It's time to leave your safe space. This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
And it is Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Al Sturm joining us now from A Good Shop. Just talked about him a moment ago. Al, how are you today, sir?
Good. How you doing, John?
Good. Did you have a good Easter, sir?
Yes, it was great. How about you?
No complaints whatsoever. Always enjoyable. It's why, and you guys heard me talk about this last week, Al, but it's why especially those of us that have faith, but literally I think the entire world, our calendar was set around the events of what we just went through this weekend. So, yeah, is it a very important weekend? Yes, absolutely.
Amen.
Yeah. Anyway, so talk to us about A Good Shop. How are things going, sir?
Pretty good. Things are starting to come back a little bit from the COVID, and people are getting out on the roads, and
traffic's increasing.
Traffic's increasing, and so are accidents. But we're here when they happen.
That's good. And Yeah, and I say it all the time, Al. I mean, having an accident's bad enough. You're already, you know, your mind's already wrapped around the, you know, what it could have, should have, you know, what happened, why, you know, why did this happen? You know, how could I have avoided it? You've got all that going on. The last thing you need to do now is worry about how you're going to get your car fixed and back, and that's where you guys come into play.
Yeah, that's great. You know, we can handle it if someone decides to file a claim with any insurance. We can just take it from there. All we need is a claim number.
Okay.
And but this spring we're refreshing, running. We're starting some details, and
awesome.
We're trying to go through every possible repair we can do to help freshen up a car and help in collision as well.
Well, and on the freshening up part, I said this this weekend, guys, on Saturday, and it's turned out to be very true, Al. I've been predicting it now for the last couple of months with the shortages we've got on the chip end of things. It's affecting, you know, inventory on new cars, which of course affects the inventory on used cars, which means everything's getting driven up, used cars especially. So now is, you know, probably the best time ever that if you're thinking about, you know, not buying something but keeping what you own, which by the way is always the cheapest way to do it, Al, and everybody else listening, Al, you know that is as well as anyone. But what a better time than ever than to come to you guys, get things freshened up, get a good detail. I can remember back in the day, Al, when you would do that for a customer, you know, one of the first things I would hear from them is, wow, this is just like it was when I bought it. Now I know why I did, and I'm not sure why I ever wanted to get rid of it. And it gave them a different perspective on the vehicle than they've had in the past by detailing it.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, when you get in a car and your carpet's clean and everything's all nice and shiny, and it just feels like a new car.
Well, and in a lot of cases, Al, I mean, I've seen the before and afters of these things, and I'm being very honest. In a lot of cases, it is. I mean, it's a night and day difference, and it's literally like you just went out and got a new car.
Yeah, for sure. That's how it feels.
And by the way, folks, that's not only how it feels, that's literally how it is. Now, I also will throw this at a lot of you that are listening. If you're thinking about doing something with the car, maybe some of you are just, you know, you're bound to determine you're going to buy something else, you've got it done, you've got it handled, maybe you ordered a car, whatever the case, and you're looking to do something with the old car, Al, I know the other thing you can do for them is get things freshened up to make that car worth the maximum dollars, so when they go to actually sell that thing on the open market, and I would always advise doing that versus trading it in, because you're going to get more dollars out of it doing that. That's where you guys can come into play as well, as making sure that thing looks as good as possible.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. We've been doing a lot of that recently. A lot of folks are trading in their cars or going into something new, and they need a, you know, maybe a ceramic coating or the inside detail. We do a lot of dog hair clean outs and stuff here, too, at the new detail shop. So I've noticed that.
Nice. All right. Real quick, ceramic coatings. Something that I've been studying, I don't know a lot about. In fact, Al, I will tell you, I've not really had much experience even touching and feeling a car that's had the ceramic coating done. Talk to me even personally about ceramic coatings. Give me the good, bad, and the ugly.
Well, we're learning about it, too. We work with a guy directly who's teaching our detail techs on how to do it. But a lot of the new cars are coming out with that from the dealerships. And it's a coating that's very water resistant and chip resistant, so it helps in the drive. You know, when you're driving down the salty road to Colorado,
right?
It's supposed to help, and we've had good feedback from people that get it, and it's just something new that it's like a really great type of wax that's put on professionally with power wheels and things.
And if I'm not, I mean, again, I don't want to say something I shouldn't, Al, but all the study that I've done is it's a different type of bonding to the current paint that's there now than what you're typically getting out of a regular, you know, like a Carnauba wax you would put on once a quarter. Is that right?
That is right, yeah.
So it's actually...
We hear it a lot when someone crashes their car, they come in, they want to make sure that ceramic coating gets put back on.
Makes sense.
Like it was from the dealer.
Makes sense. Now, I'm assuming, again, that's one of those things where you guys work with the insurance companies on, because that's going to be an upgrade that you normally wouldn't be doing on a normal repair, right?
Yeah, and they do tend to pay for it, most of them.
Okay, perfect. All right, so that promo is what again, and how long does it run, Al?
I believe we have till the 10th on there.
Okay, 10th of April. Okay.
So you come in, and if you have a accident or something, we'll throw in a detail for $149. That includes everything under hood, interior shampoo, exterior polish, and, you know, just a clean car.
Al, one question I have for you as well, and just again for my own question as much as probably anybody listening, parts availability. I know it's gotten difficult in certain areas when it comes to parts availability with COVID and all of that. What's it like on the collision end of things?
Well, we've had a lot of very long waits with Hyundai and several brands, but it's starting to come back.
Okay.
A lot of the storms down south have delayed a lot of parts delivery, and they're finally getting caught up.
Okay, good. That's good to hear. And, and by the way, that helps the economy and everything else rolling around as well. All right, one last question. Your mobile estimating tool, I guess what I should call it, that you guys have. Talk about that for a moment.
Well, you can go to the website and download it on your phone. It's an app.
Okay.
And it walks you through exactly what pictures to take, so we can generate a online estimate for you at any time. You know, obviously at night, if you send it in, you're going to get it back during business hours.
Sure.
However, as soon as we get in, we check those right up front and try and get to them, you know, just as quick as possible.
How accurate are they, Al? I mean, I assume that, and I've not used the app, so I'm assuming that it's pretty accurate on, you know, the picture they take and so on.
Oh, yeah. We have to have the VIN number, of course, so that's one of the photos you take. Mm,
okay.
So once we have that, it'll detail out the parts that we need and the pricing. However, you know, as always, there is unforeseen damage.
Sure.
But, you know, folks can really get a general idea whether they need to run a insurance claim or they want to, or helps them decide on what
right.
they need to move forward.
Makes total sense. How do they get a hold of you, Al?
agoodshop.us, or you can give us a call at 720-541-7697.
You're the man. Al, I appreciate it very much, sir.
John, take care. Thanks
a lot. You bet. I appreciate it, Al. And again, folks, anything you need, they're there for you. If you missed any of those numbers, again, you can always go to klzradio.com, click on A Good Shop. It'll take you everywhere. Al just mentioned a moment ago. Barber's is up next, Barber's Foods. And there's some new specials running as we enter into the April time frame, I should say, this April month, now that Easter is gone. But again, what I will say, and you guys know this, in my opinion, and I don't think I'm wrong, they've got the best meats of anybody out there. I say meats plural because it's beef, bison, pork, poultry, you name it, they've got it. And why is it so different? It's because they know where the animals come from. They know how they're raised. They know how they're processed. All of that going into the highest quality protein around. They've been doing this since 1949. So find them online. And by the way, if there's something you don't see online, they can still get it for you. Just make a phone call and they'll handle it. It's Barbers with an S, barbersfoods.com.
It's time to get out the grill for some all-natural, mouth-watering meats raised right here at home from Barber's Foods. For over 70 years in Colorado, Barber's Foods has stayed true to their mission to provide their customers with only the highest quality organic, antibiotic-free meats from family farms they know personally. So whether you're buying beef, bison, pork, or poultry, they know where it's coming from and the families who raise the animals with care and respect. Place your order now at barbersfoods.com or call 303-466-7338. Pick up your order at the Denver warehouse, located at I-70 and Brighton Boulevard near the National Western Center, or for those in the Denver metro area, Barber's Foods will deliver direct. Colorado-sourced bison, organic grass-fed beef, USDA prime beef, purebred Wagyu, slow-raised non-GMO Duroc pork, free-range chicken, non-GMO turkeys, and more. Barber's Foods, 100% Colorado native owned and operated. Barbersfoods.com.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Got a couple minutes here before we end this hour. If you're listening to the replay hour, thank you very much. I do appreciate it. And we'll be back for hour number two here in just a minute. This Joe sent me an article that was out of Axios, which, by the way, Axios, not a conservative website by any stretch of the imagination. It's pretty left-leaning. Not pretty. It's very left-leaning. Headline reads, though, White House, deaths due to drug overdose hit 88,000 during the pandemic. 88,000, folks. That's a lot of people that died of an overdose. You've heard me say this. I'm going to continue to say it. We're going to continue to interview people that will talk about these things that are looking at the data more closely than even I. But I am thoroughly convinced that we will not see all of the negative effects of what we've done during this lockdown for months, if not years, down the road. And I'm here to tell you, folks, it's a lot worse than anyone on the left will ever tell you. And if we don't stop with all of this nonsense of these lockdowns and mask wearing and all of the stupidity, literally stupidity that has gone along with it, the human costs will continue to rise. One of those things, again, I'll keep talking about as we go through not only the show today, but in the future as well. So, Joe, thanks for sending me that. All right, hour number two is next. Up first at the top of the hour is Sarah Anderson, Director of Policy at FreedomWorks, and we're going to talk about the infrastructure bill. We'll be right back. Hour two is next. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.